Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Andriette Earl.
Thank you. Good morning, Santa Rosa.
Good morning.
It's good to be here with y'all this morning. I am so, well, I have to acknowledge that this morning was very interesting because I came through a storm. And some of you will recall that there was one occasion when I was here and I got lost in the fog. And so on my way here, I began to just question this whole idea of coming to Santa Rosa. But I need you to know that I love Dr. Edwards so much. I want the record to show that I come through the fog and I come through the storm where there was actually lightning and the lights were out as I was coming through the area. My sister called me this morning to say the power is out here. And I thought, I've got to get out of my garage quickly. So I need the record to show that I love Dr. Edwards and Santa Rosa so much that I will come through most anything in order to get here. I'm expecting a gold star. If they are giving out halos, I need one with my name on it. So I bring you greetings from Heart and Soul Center of Light and Gary Lynn Floyd. It is big fun for me to serve and play with you. I have abridged my talk title, which for as long as I was preparing to be here was Adventure in Faith. It is now Adventure in Faith, : keep on walking. And it so fits that powerful number that you and Jamie Lula put together really is a call to faith. So it is in that I bring you great news. This message from Ernest Holmes says, the barriers between you and your greater good are not barriers in themselves. They are things of thought. Now, there's a part of me that just wants to go over here and sit in one of these chairs. And just from time to time go, uh-huh. With those lines, just from time to time, as you study that message, I want to just go, see? Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, this is the great news I'm bringing. Whatever it is that is wearing you out, whatever it is that you think is between you and your greatest good, is a thing in thought. He goes on to say, it is because of this, because of the fact that it is but a thing in thought, that all things are possible to faith. Gary Lynn Floyd told you, keep on walking. Don't let whatever it is stop you. He goes on to say further that the master teacher Yeshua, that the world ultimately came to call Jesus, summed up the whole proposition in Matthew when he said, it is done unto you as you believe. And I love this part because this is where Ernest Holmes really helps us to better understand this scripture, because he puts the emphasis on as you are yet believing. Not as you tell people you believed, not as you wished you had believed, but as you are believing, while you are in the act, while you are in the process of believing thusly, whatever that is, that's when it's done unto you. That's the energetic place of creation. Does that make sense? Okay. He says very specifically, think, but you must pause after the word as. And whenever I give this scripture in my home church at Heart and Soul, the community goes, as. And so that wouldn't be a bad thing if we did that together. In fact, let's just try it. It is done unto you as you believe. Because Ernest Holmes is inviting us to pause after the word as so that we can take that in, that we see our part in the action. He says, think about its meaning and you'll discover that what the master teacher was saying is that life not only responds to your belief, but it responds after the manner of your believing while you are yet believing. That it's a reflection of your belief. Now, here's the thing. For anyone that is feeling some confusion around that, let's just clarify it. Ernest Holmes further says that confusion exists as a condition, but not as a reality. The mirage is in our own consciousness. So much like we've just said that belief begins in mind. He goes on to say that if confusion comes, take your intellect and dive deep into your pool of peace. Like we did this morning. Just get sufficiently still enough so that out of that, there can be an act of faith. That's what we're reliant upon, is that we move to an act of faith. And it's required. At Heart and Soul, our theme for this year is literally adventures in faith. Our faith is our fortune. And the book, our daily read that we are using this year is Iyanla Van Zandt's Acts of Faith, the 25th anniversary edition, because it has a little reflection piece in there that I present as a bit of a mini workshop opportunity. But here's the idea that I want to leave with you, that I want to make sure I plant in this, springboarding off of adventure in faith, keep on walking. I want you to know that in the New Thought Dictionary, that faith is defined as a recognition of and a belief in certain principles. Belief in the impossible from an objective viewpoint. Also, it says unconditioned acceptance that there is an invisible intelligence which guides and an invisible law which controls, and the complete belief that it is now doing so in your life. That's what faith is. So at Heart and Soul, we are using hashtag 2020 in 2020. This notion of living from faith in such a way that we see ever more clearly what is ours to be, what is ours to do, and thus what is ours to have. And our prayer is that it is a world that works for everyone. Where there is no faith in the future, there's no power in the present. When I first read that quote, I've been using it quite a lot at Heart and Soul in a number of my talks this year, because I think it's important that my community see this as a foundational awareness. I see this, so many examples of this. I see this with young people where if in fact they do not have a faith in the future, if they don't have a sense of a greater possibility tomorrow, they see little reason to be here today. They don't have any sense of the power that they have that is resident in them. I know that that's not true in this community. I know that the principles that you teach and endeavor to practice give you a sense of the power of faith in the future, and thereby giving us access to the amazing power that we have in this moment to ensure a better, more righteous, more intentional tomorrow. Does that make sense? So I've brought you a cautionary tale from Scripture, from Numbers 13. And in Numbers 13, we meet the Hebrew children led by Moses. So they're 2 years out of Egypt. So they are on their way to the Promised Land. So at the point that we meet them in Scripture here, and I think it's important for me to pause for a moment and say that the way that I see Scripture and engage it is as an allegory, and that all of the characters, any and every character, is a representation of some symbol that is a human attribute. So that all of the folks that are mentioned in the Scripture that I'm sharing with you represent you. You don't get to pick your favorite and become just that one. You don't know. You don't get to skim off the top and say, well, I'll just be Caleb. And the rest of them are some of these other people over there. They are much like when we look at an astrological chart. If you're looking at the whole thing, you would be, no, it's impossible that you'd have just one planet, one sign throughout all of your houses. Does this make sense if I say it that way? That we are this combination, and I believe that Scripture is an opportunity for us to see ourselves, to see the human condition, because, you know, we love it when it's somebody else's story. We see really clearly what the problem is when it's somebody else's story. When it's our story, it's a little more complex to discern, isn't it? I thought so. Yes. So here we go. So we meet the Hebrew children in they're past Exodus, and now they haven't begun what we call the wandering. This, in fact, this part of the story is key to what we know as the 40 years of wandering that follows this. So what happens is Moses is guided, directed to identify the 12 leaders, one leader from each tribe. Now, each tribe that's us. So whoever the leaders are, that's our makeup. Our attributes is what's happening here. So the 12 are sent out on a reconnaissance mission. They are sent out to the Promised Land to discern what's there. Is it really all we've thought of, and who's there, and how can we get to our Promised Land? Make sense? All right. So here we go. So the 12 tribes go out, the leaders, I should say, so the 12 men go out, and they're in the land, and they come back after 40 days. All of this is significance. The 40 is completion. They've done everything humanly possible to discern what needs to be known. So they return. And in their return, here's what I want you to know. Oh, I skipped ahead here. So when they return, they give this report. They say that sure enough, it is everything we've been dreaming of. This is exactly our Promised Land. It has everything. It has all the good stuff that we imagined. And it is occupied by giants. And they have a sense that because of the inhabitants, the current inhabitants, that they should give up taking that land. They're going to have to find another place to be. But in their midst are Caleb, whose name translates to faith, faithfulness, and Joshua, whose name essentially means the living one saves, that I would then translate to, we're going to be all right. ultimately, it's going to work out. So it's another affirmation of faith. Can you see that? So they give testimony, Caleb especially, saying, trying to quiet the people, it says, to say, yeah, yeah, all that's true. They big up there. But let's go. We can take them. It's an attitude of faith. Now, see, I'm going to ask you, where in your life right now do you have a situation, an opportunity where you believe that maybe the mortgage broker, where you believe that the neighborhood association, where you believe that somebody else is bigger, badder in such a way that you shouldn't even try it? And what I've come today to offer and awaken the Caleb and Joshua in you that would have you know that you can do this. Not because you size up in height, not because you size up in authority, but by faith. So Caleb gives voice to, let's do it anyway. It's ours, let's claim it. They do not prevail. Caleb and Joshua do not prevail. And so what happens is the Hebrew children wander for 40 years. Caleb and Joshua are the only two individuals who enter from that. They're the only ones from that original recognizance team that goes, that makes it to the promised land. And somewhere it's been written that they're the only ones over 20 years old. They wander for two generations. And my sense is, the meaning of that, the significance of that, is that we really cannot go where we do not think we can be. We really cannot get what we do not believe we can have. And only until we have kind of the critical mass belief that we can. And that's what they represent. Can y'all see that with me? That Caleb and Joshua represent a level of belief and faith. So the opportunity to have the outcome was not available to the larger group until there was like a critical mass, faith and belief that they were anchored in. And I wonder, what does that mean for us? What's the significance in our lives? What is it saying to us, just in very basic terms, that it's not, see, this isn't saying, my cautionary tale is not saying that the rest were wrong. You can't believe what you don't believe. But there's an opportunity for us to ratchet up our belief. Wherever we are right now, in terms of what we can believe, a world that works for everyone. I can feel the presence of you must not have heard the news yesterday. You must not have been present when. You must not know anything about. But I'm awaking the Caleb and the Joshua presence consciousness in me to say, yeah, I heard about all that. But I'm going to keep on walking. I heard about all of that, but I'm going to keep on walking. We're going to continue to raise the children with a belief that tomorrow is going to be even better. Even while the report says we may not get through today. Am I out here on my own? All right. I'm a collaborator. I like some company. Need y'all to come go with me. So, I also, there's a little story I want to share with you where I have an opportunity to kind of anthropomorphize water. Because I think that some of this that we're dealing with, a lot of what is before us in 2019 is perplexing. And so, hear this from... For to support us with this being in this place of being perplexed by how it all unfolds. This author, and I apologize that when I first claimed this and start playing with it, I excerpted it, and by the time I got back to it, I have lost sight of the source of it. So for now, I'm just going to say source unknown. I'll keep you updated, though. When perplexed, remember the little stream of water and how determined it is to reach the mighty ocean. Be that determined to reach and realize all the good that is awaiting you. Why delay its benefits by putting obstacles in your path of prosperity, in your path of health, in your path of well-being? Let us overcome the path of non-resistance. Every worried thought, every fear, every doubt, complaint, argument, and angry thought are but so many boulders, large and small, that you cast into your stream. These tend to change your course and to lengthen the time for your goal to be reached. Unite your forces for good with the good that is seeking you. Remove and dissolve every obstacle by blessing it and by being willing to understand it. And I'm going to add, accept it. Mark it no longer a stumbling block, but a stepping stone leading to your highest good. Keep on flowing. Can we see that that would be us? There are going to be those barriers and boulders, but like the stream of water, we're not going to let it stop us. We're going to figure a way to be in the divine flow of all good. Orson Swett Marden, who was the founder of Success Magazine, said that most of our obstacles would melt away if instead of cowering before them, we should make up our minds to walk boldly through them. Keep on walking. No matter what. No matter what. I'm going to invite you to say this with me. No matter what. Keep on walking. Oh, come on now. Y'all don't intend to walk on? Let's try that one more time. This time, like you might be going to walk on. No matter what, keep on walking. Yeah. Yeah, it feels like an intention for such a time as this. A time when many, I know y'all study with Dr. Edward. So in a sense, I know I'm preaching to the choir. I'm just going to consider this practice for the other people I have to talk to. Because y'all already know. But it is with our critical mass knowing and our willingness to know in such a way that we leave like no stone unturned, that we can see more clearly, have faith in, and a clear intention around a world that works for everyone. Yeah, there's no, in order for us to get there, and it may be just like what Caleb and Joshua experienced. And Dr. King, I may not get there with you, but I ask that you keep on walking. Continue in the direction of the greater good for all concerned. Join me in prayer. Oh, how good and very, very, very good it is for us to come together in faith, to come together in joy, to come together in divine knowing and recognition that there is one whole, perfect, and complete life, and that it's the life of God. That I am living the life of God. That we are living the life of God. And that the life of God is living me. The life of God is living us. We are breathing the breath of God. Even as the breath of God is breathing us, there is one. This is to illustrate the divine connectedness. This sense that there is only one of us here. The divine, the living one, manifest and expressing in infinite form. In different shades and forms and genders and perfect expressions. Oh, I am giving thanks. For the divine awareness of our individuality and simultaneously our oneness. Oh, how good it is to know that there is a divine revelation of faith. And the energetic vibration that calls us to keep on walking. Hebrew children, keep on walking. Santa Rosa, keep on walking. Humanity, keep on walking. We walk together. Oh, it is in an attitude of gratitude that I give thanks for all that has been accomplished here, for the seeds that have been planted, for the nurturing, the watering, the care, the harvest of good that is certain in every case. I give thanks for Santa Rosa Center for Spiritual Living, for those present today, for their choice, decision, and intention to live in faith, to move steadily in the direction of the greatest good for all humanity. It is an absolute perfect gratitude that I let go and I let God, that I release this word into the perfect activity of law, that I know that it's done and done well. And so I simply let it be now and forevermore. And so it is.